Well, it says Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, so I suppose that's what it's going to have to be. This particular verses, chapter 2, 6 and 7, have been preached on a number of times. Fact is, a Puritan preacher back in the 1700s preached a series of sermons, a 13 sermons, as a matter of fact, on just that one chapter, or rather the verse, chapter 2, verse number 6. And let's start out with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we live in a time of increase of a false doctrine. Please keep us strong in you and for you, to your glory and honor. Amen. The portion of our study, of course, is as it says, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. And due to the fact that this particular epistle was also meant to be read to the Laodiceans and the people in Hierapolis, let us turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 to 22. And it says, and unto the angel or the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy from me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The people at Hierapolis, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, is where you hear any mention about Hierapolis. However, in church history, we do find that there were people there who were martyred for the faith. That, of course, wasn't new. Persecution, prosecution, and execution of Christians went on in these places just as they did elsewhere. And now let us turn back a bit and read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, or 15. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any one spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Obviously, the reading of the Colossian epistle had no effect on most of the Laodicean church. They were infected by deceitful teaching and philosophy, fashioned after traditions of men, rudiments of misunderstanding, unbelief, and syncretizing of Christian and Jewish doctrine with paganism, some of which in some form continues to this day. And the result is worldliness, the manner of living done by heathen and morally corrupt, those having no concern, no interest, no love for God, Lord Jesus, his deity, his theology, his philosophy, his kingdom, his spirit and scripture, his holiness, his knowledge. But for God, Lord Jesus' disciples, we that love, that have concern, that have interest in God, Lord Jesus, though we have not seen him in his flesh, we have the pleasure and comfort of his company. We are united with him. We have his indwelling presence by way of his spirit and scripture, the Holy. Lord Jesus is manifesting himself to us. Therefore, it must and will register in the soul, spirit, mind of each disciple of God, Lord Jesus, the clause of conditionality found in chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, and the fact of chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in us, for having received, having learned God, Lord Jesus, is Lord, the supreme authority. He is our supreme authority, and we are to walk, live, that is, live in newness of life, live united with Jesus, being his companions. We are to live holy, for he is holy. Remember our Lord's rhetorical question recorded in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Take note, they that have Christ in them are in Christ, and the evidence of that union will be exhibited by holy living. Chapter 2, verse 6, part B, instructs us, we that are Lord Jesus' disciples, to walk, to live holy, as he, Christ Jesus, lives. We are to think and realize we are companions of Lord Jesus in this present life, preparing for the eternal life. Therefore, we must be occupied with him. And being companions of Lord Jesus, being occupied with him, Lord Jesus' Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, will cause us, the Lord's disciples, to have untiring concern for and the study of God, Lord Jesus' theology and philosophy. Indeed, there will be Holy Spirit desire to have and learn the theology and philosophy of God, Lord Jesus, to be more rooted in and making progress in the Lord's doctrine. Such intense desire to learn, know, and live the theology and philosophy of God, Lord Jesus, is imperative. It is demanded of we professing to be of the Christian religion and faith. The religion and faith of God, Lord Jesus. Verse number 7, part C. As ye have been taught, should and must remind us of the chapters and verses wherein we are educated. It is God, the Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture the Holy, that has regenerated us, converted us, caused us to repent, caused us to progress in sanctification. He, God, Lord Jesus, roots, causes us to be thoroughly grounded in him, to have communion with him. He stabilizes our soul, spirit, mind. He, God, Lord Jesus, builds, edifies us up in him. Seeing we have communion with Lord Jesus, we are to grow in spiritual life. Remember, our bodies are temples, edifices of the Holy Spirit. He, God, Lord Jesus, establishes, causes us to be steadfast in our fellowship, in our companionship with him. God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, accomplishes these, that we, his disciples, the members of his church, the members of his religion and faith, the Christian, be molded to his likeness permanently. Brethren, knowing God, Lord Jesus, by his indwelling presence, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, and his faithful preachers, instructs us, establishes us in his theology, philosophy, disciplines. Let us therefore abound, excel therein with thanksgiving unto God, Lord Jesus. It is important, and always has been important, that Christians, the disciples of God, Lord Jesus, not forsake assembling together to hear the preaching, teaching of Lord Jesus, scriptures, to be edified, and that we may give spiritual comfort and edification to one another, and with one voice sing praises to and give thanksgiving to the Lord. Verse 8. Warning against false theology and doctrine. Verse 8 begins with a present imperative active, commanding us, God, Lord Jesus, disciples, to beware, be on guard, take warning, to take heed continuously, repeatedly, 24/7, lest anyone spoil us, take us captive, and snare us in and with false, deceitful philosophy, traditions of men, rudiments of the world. For these are delusionary. They give false impression. They give and cause heresies, and they cause unbelief, hypocrisy, apostasy. Men and women, alienated from the faith and life of God, Lord Jesus, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope, without God in the world. Though the heresies, or even heresies, afflicting the churches in Colossae, Laodicea, and the Hierapolis, are given no definitive or particular name, warnings against the heresy or heresies are given in verses 9 to 23. In this message, we get as far as verse 15. In this sermon, there is no intent of in-depth study of the various heresies, their initiators, advocates, and adherents, for we have many in our own time that are more vile, more heinous, more numerous. However, they are all about the same. The forms of heresy, as always, oppose the Holy Spirit, deny the truth of Holy Scripture, the Christian Holy Bible. They deny the deity of Lord Jesus, deny the Lord's humanity, and even go so far as to deny his masculinity. They want to either say that he is feminine or that he is neuter, but Scripture definitely states he is masculine. The various forms of heresy can be and will be rejected by genuine Christians, the disciples of God, Lord Jesus, remaining submissive to the theology and philosophy of God, Lord Jesus, which his Spirit and Scripture the Holy teaches about his person. Examples are found in Exodus chapter 20. And verses 1 through 5, in which God said unto Moses, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am the jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And verse 23, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Isaiah chapter 1, or chapter 41, verses through 49, are emphatic. There is one God, one Lord, one King, one Savior, one Redeemer. He is one, there is no other. He does not, will not, never, no, never share his glory. And, of course, we have chapter, we turn back to Isaiah chapter 4. Or rather, chapter 7. And verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you the sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear the son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, for unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And of course, following that, there are the virgin birth narratives found in Luke chapter 1. Let's see. Starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to the virgin espoused to the man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth the son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary asked, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel answered, saying to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth the Son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This was done that it be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the Son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. All heresies, hypocrisies, apostasy, will be avoided, rejected by we faithful to the teaching, leading of the Holy Spirit in Scripture about the person of God, Lord Jesus. Verse 8, parts B and C, mentions traditions of men. These can be rejected, they can be avoided by living the holiness of life God, Lord Jesus, desires, requires of we professing his name. For traditions of man or men lead to rejecting the commandments, the disciplines of the Lord, as to rudiments of the world. This can refer to supposed lesser emanations, or lesser gods or goddesses, representing earth, air, fire, water, war, etc. This is idolatry and superstition, and must be rejected and is refuted in Isaiah chapters 41 through 49. Luke records in Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34, Apostle Paul, by inspiration from the Holy Spirit, refuted such thought in Athens in the midst of Mars Hill. Rudiments of the world can also refer to astrology, telling one's fortune, future, fate, whatever, by the heavenly orbs. This concept is foolishness. Besides being idolatry and superstition, the stars and planets and the moons are hundreds of thousands of miles and light years apart. It is delusion to find a pattern of an object in the heavenly luminaries. The heavenly luminaries are in place because of and for the purpose of telling of the majesty and glory of the sovereign Lord God Jesus, the supreme authority that created and placed them in their place, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 8 and 14 through 19. We go into verses 9 to 15. The Lord Jesus is Christ, and he is totally sufficient. In Lord Jesus the Christ, there dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, eternity, absolute holiness. Jesus of Nazareth is the exact image, the exact likeness, the revelation of the evidence of God, his nature, his will. At no time did he, Jesus, lay aside his infinite, non-communicable attributes. He retained them, as he did his divine self-consciousness. He, being a deity in a bodily form, lived the life of God among men. And we, the Lord Jesus' disciples, are made complete in the Lord by the Lord transmigrating his spirit, the Holy, including his attributes of holiness and eternity into his disciples, that we will be transformed to his moral character, made fit, prepared to live in the visible, eternal, holy Jerusalem. Verse 11, we read about circumcision, but this circumcision is not the cutting off of foreskin, whether for keeping of a rite or for hygienic purpose. It must be known and realized, keeping this particular rite of what is termed of the Mosaic law, including the circumcised, being pre-instructed. They were under obligation to manifest specific spiritual qualities of commitment and obedience to the Lord. But as is evidenced in both Old Testament and New Testament, most chose to disregard Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even ye above all people, as it is this day. Therefore, the people were to circumcise the foreskin of their hearts, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and the terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh a bribe. The people, even as many do today, preferred to keep the ritual, forsake the evidence thereof. Love toward the Lord by keeping his commandments. Keeping ritual does not save. Old Testament, New Testament, both reveal God, Lord Jesus, is concerned more with soul, spirit, mind, the affections. There is Romans and chapter 2. Verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And of course, there is also Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, and chapter 9, verse 26. that which crucifies the flesh of sinful affections and lust, ritual cannot do. Verse number 12 deals with the rite of baptism. This baptism refers not to water, for many have been baptized in water, and all they did was get wet. Like the rite of circumcision, it includes pre-instruction of obligation to manifest spiritual qualities of commitment and obedience to the Lord. So baptism must include pre-instruction. Water baptism signifies our burial and resurrection with Christ. We are obligated to die to sin, live to righteousness, newness of life, put off the old man, put on the new. It is obvious by the wording of verses 11 and 12 and other scripture evidences, the circumcision and the baptism are symbolizing that which God, Lord Jesus, performs by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy. Many are the scripture evidences God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy, begins and accomplishes unto completeness of perfection the spiritual circumcision and baptism, performing the works of salvation, saving us from spiritual deadness in our sins, uncircumcised, unwashed in soul, spirit, mind, flesh. A few of the many verses proving the works of regeneration, conversion, repentance, justification, sanctification, progressive sanctification. The works of salvation are effected by God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture, the Holy. Romans chapter 8. Verses 9 through 14. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are in debt, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verses 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus tells us, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are people that you would think that know better, but they want to know what the Lord makes us free from, by way of the Spirit and Scripture. That's easily answered. He makes us free from the power, guilt, consequence, and punishment of sin. Chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me, he is greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Chapter 14, verses 15 through 23. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. There's Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through chapter 7, verse 27. God, Lord Jesus' philosophy for living the Christian life in this present life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 6 and verse number 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are educated by God, Lord Jesus, by way of his Spirit and Scripture. It is his Spirit and Scripture that quickens us, makes us alive spiritually. And like the Spirit, his Spirit resurrected him, so his Spirit resurrects us spiritually. And will resurrect us bodily. The Lord Jesus the Christ, God self-manifest in human flesh, by his crucifixion made himself our sin offering, the offering for all we that believe in him unto obedience. Be much aware and realize everything God, Lord Jesus, has done and continues to do on our behalf. His disciples is of the utmost importance. When our Lord, Lord Jesus, was crucified, the crime he was accused of was his claim to be King of the Jews. And when our God, Lord Jesus, was crucified, he was crucified for sins committed by the first century disciples and disciples of every century following, including this 21st century. And he was crucified on behalf of those his disciples who were made disciples during the Old Testament and Intertestament periods, for they believed in him. Though our Lord's body lay in the tomb 3 days, his spirit did not. It went into the lower parts of the earth, into the graves of Old Testament and Intertestament and New Testament saints, and glorified them. Their graves were opened, and bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. Those same saints, it is believed, they ascended into paradise, the eternal holy Jerusalem, soon after our Lord's ascension. Our God, Lord Jesus, continues this, his work of spoiling, depriving principalities and rulers of sin in this present day. By the power of his foreknowledge, his spirit and scripture, the holy he regenerates, converts, causes to repent, justifies, sanctifies, causing us to progress in sanctification. I am his disciples, so that we will abstain from any and all forms of sin. And yes, when the Lord saints his disciples of this present age pass on, our bodies are put in a grave, but our souls and spirits go to be with our Lord in paradise, the eternal holy Jerusalem, body, soul, spirit, awaiting the day they will be reunited. Application. There is prayer. Ask God, Lord Jesus, that his spirit and scripture, the holy, run free course in your spirit, soul, mind, and of mind too, bestowing his wisdom and revelation, enlightening our souls, spirits, minds, that we may know and serve him better. Remember, Christians are disciples of God, Lord Jesus. Disciple comes from the Latin word discipulus, a pupil, and we are in the Lord Jesus school. We should and must study well. As suggests a study routine by one of the world's leading theologians, Sinclair B. Ferguson, is go to bed early. Read through an Old Testament book. At lunch, read through one of Paul's epistles each lunchtime for 2 weeks. Read the other epistles during the next 2 weeks. Read one of the Gospels each Sunday afternoon for a month. Read Acts and Revelation on successive Saturdays. Application 2. Even though Open Door Bible Church, Middletown, is not the chapel of a theological seminary, it would do well for us, the members and attendees, to think of ourselves as seminarians, and Open Door as our seminary, wherein we are making intellectual and spiritual preparation for Christian maturity in this present life, being prepared for eternal life. As students of theology, the science of God, let us be diligent, faithful in the study of our main textbook, the Christian Holy Bible, the cultivation of our life in Christ Jesus being our matter of profoundest concern. Our study and application of the Lord's word will build us into the character of Jesus. And may the study of the Bible be done for the Lord, his Spirit causing us to be spiritually transported into the very presence of our Lord, his teaching enlightening, enlarging, filling our souls, spirits, minds, lives with divine thoughts, feelings, aspirations, achievements, and increase of adoration in and for the Lord our God, Lord Jesus. Application 3. Remember, though God, Lord Jesus, is absent in his flesh, he is with us and in us by way of his Spirit, rejoicing, beholding our order and steadfast of faith in him. Amen.